Part 4. Understanding, Influencing, and Motivating People at Work. Part 4 looks at two particularly important filters and aspects of personality, namely, values and metaprograms. Chapter 14 looks at values, also known as criteria, in more depth, and describes how to find out what is important to someone and how useful this is in organizations. Chapter 15 describes personality traits known in NLP as metaprograms. These are deep filters that can help you understand, predict, and influence behavior. Chapter 14. Values. The key to motivating and influencing. Motivation is the art of getting people to do what you want them to do because they want to do it. Dwight D. Eisenhower, former U.S. President. We refer to values in the Communication Model, Chapter 2, and in the Neurological Levels Model, Chapter 8. Values can be defined as the things we want, look for, or which are important to us in any given context. They are one of the most important filters, and an awareness of values will be useful for you personally in your own working life, as well as for enhancing your ability to influence other people at work. Why is a knowledge of values so important? Values will help you to sell more, manage so effectively that you will have staff clamoring to work for you, improve your own satisfaction level at work, make better decisions and choices about your career, negotiate more effectively, recruit better staff, prevent or minimize the sources of conflict at work, build more effective teams, coach other people, including in the previous topics. Key concepts. Values are usually intangible, and from a hierarchy of ideas perspective, Chapter 7, an abstract concept. Examples of values in the workplace for an individual could be challenge, respect, variety, and making a difference, and for an organization, service, excellence, innovation, and empowerment. Because values are intangible, they might mean different things to different people. Your definition of, for example, variety, might be different from that of one of your colleagues. You might also hear the term criteria used by NLP professionals when referring to values. Essentially, the terms are interchangeable. Values are those things that we either move toward having or move away from not having. For example, money might be important to one of your colleagues because they want what money can buy, house, car, clothes, etc. And it might be equally as important to another colleague because they do not want to be without money and have the sparse home life that they had when they were growing up. The first colleague is motivated by moving toward money, and the second is motivated by the thought of not having it, known as moving away from. This will be discussed further in the next chapter. Values link to beliefs, attitudes, and behaviors. Sometimes a person's values are formed because of a belief they have. Sometimes beliefs are formed because of a value they have. A manager may value honesty because they believe that it is important to tell the truth. Their attitudes, which are essentially beliefs and values around a specific topic, will reflect this, and assuming they are congruent, see Alignment and Congruence in Chapter 8, their behavior will reflect their beliefs, values, and attitudes. Values are naturally organized in a hierarchy. There will be several things that are important to you at work or in your career or business. Some of these will be more important than others. As we will soon cover, this becomes really important when working with values. Values can and do change throughout a person's life and career, especially when a significant event happens, such as being laid off, being promoted, or becoming a parent. In the context of motivation at work, there are numerous theories. One that is particularly relevant is by Frederick Hertzberg, who found that there are two main types of motivator at work: hygiene factors, such as work conditions, status, salary, and company car, and true motivators, such as recognition, advancement, the work itself, and responsibility. For more information on theories about values, see the Resources for Further Learning section in the companion PDF. Working with values. There are many ways to use values in the workplace. The starting point when working with values is to find out, or elicit, someone's values in the relevant context. For example, if you are managing or acting as a coach for someone around a career choice, the context is career. If you are selling them a car, the context is car. The process of eliciting values when you have the client's overt permission is described in the following section. Later in the chapter, we will cover how to elicit values more informally when you might not have overt permission. Let's assume that you have been asked by a colleague to help them with their next career move. The context, therefore, is career. Step 1. Standard questions. Ask your colleague, what's important to you in or about a career? Or, what do you look for in a career? Or, what do you want from a career? All of these questions are similar, and I usually ask all three together because clients and students have said that they find it useful. Write down the answers using your colleague's words, not your paraphrased version. The word or phrase that they say will mean something specific to them, and this is about them, not you. If the value that they give is stated in the negative, for example, not being ignored, ask, what do you want instead, to get the value stated in the positive, for example, recognition, which is what you would write down. If there is a slightly extended pause, as a guide, there is often a pause after the first 4 to 7 values. Ask, what else is important to you about your career? Keep going until the colleague seems to have run out of ideas. Tip 14.1. Keep quiet while your colleague is reflecting on their values and resist any temptation to suggest values, as this process is about their values, not yours. Step 2. Previous situations. Because having your values met will usually make you happy and motivated, an additional way to find out your colleague's values is to ask them to remember a specific time when they felt really motivated or happy in their career, and what was it about that time that led them to feel so happy or motivated. As they describe the situation, listen out for values. It is likely that they will mention some of the values that they mentioned in Step 1. If there is a value that they didn't mention previously in Step 1, ask them if that is important to them in their career. Assuming that it is, add it to the list. If you are hearing several values that were not mentioned in Step 1, repeat Step 2 with a different situation to elicit additional values. At this stage, you will probably have between 8 and 12 values. If it is slightly more or slightly less, then that's fine. Occasionally, people will give a lot more than 12, which indicates either that some of the values could be grouped together. For example, honesty, trust, and integrity could be similar for a particular person, or that the values are in fact behaviors. As a guide, values are intangible, whereas behaviors are tangible. If your colleague mentions a behavior, ask, "What's important to you about that?" which will lead to their giving you the related value. Step 3. Catch-all. Show them the list of values and ask, if you had all of this, these values, in your career, would you want it, or is there anything missing? Which will identify any values not previously mentioned. Occasionally, the person might say that there is something missing, in which case, add it to the list and repeat the question until there is nothing else they want to add. Tip 14.2. Sometimes in steps 1, 2, or 3, people will want to explain why each value is important. Though this will be useful later, it is not useful at this point. If your colleague explains or gives long-winded answers, politely and graciously suggest that the best way for them to get the benefit from this process is to give a brief answer regarding what is important to them in their career, and that there's no need to explain or justify the values. Step 4. Ranking. Although all of the values on the list will be important to your colleague, some will be more important than others. Ask them to rank the values from 1 to 8, with 1 being the most important. Typically, the top 4 to 6 values will provide the major amount of motivation in any given context. Another way of ranking, especially if there are more than 10 values, is to rank the essential values as A's, the important but not essential values as B's, and the icing on the cake values as C's. I always ask my clients which method they would prefer or which would be most useful to them, given the purpose of the exercise. Most people prefer the second method, A's, B's, and C's. It is not uncommon for people to mention some of the more important values toward the end of the process. This indicates that the person has been searching deeper inside him or herself and emphasizes the importance of allowing the person time to think quietly and of asking, what else is important to you? And doing steps 2 and 3. Tip 14.3. When eliciting and ranking values, it is sometimes helpful to people to read out the values mentioned during the process. This might be particularly helpful to people whose preferred representational system is auditory. Sit next to the person so that they can see what you have written, for people with a visual preference. Let the person write the rankings next to each value, step 4, for people with a kinesthetic preference. Rewrite the list, or let the person do it if they want to, once the person has ranked the list. Step 5. Check. As a check, offer them two careers, one with values 5 to 8, name them, or the B's and C's, and then the second with values 1 to 4, name them, or the A's. I would expect them to choose the second one. If they were unsure or chose the first one, revisit step 4 and ask them to adjust the ranking. Exercise 14.1. Approximately 10 to 20 minutes. Choose the most appropriate word to reflect the context of work for you, for example, career, or work, or business, or job, and do the values elicitation exercise, steps 1 through 5, for that area, so that you can gain greater insight or clarity. If you would find it easier, ask a trusted colleague or friend to take you through the process, bearing in mind the whole process and the tips. Exercise 14.2, approximately 10 to 20 minutes. If you believe that it would be important to you in your work role to be able to elicit other people's values, if you sell, recruit, or manage people, it will be essential. Practice the values elicitation process with willing colleagues or friends. Delving deeper. Criteria equivalence. As I mentioned earlier, because values are abstract, they will mean different things to different people. Therefore, it can be extremely useful, for reasons that I will explain further in the applications sections, to know what the person means by their stated values and how specifically they would know whether their values had been met or not. The term criteria equivalent is used in NLP to describe this. Here is a selection of questions you could use to find out what each of the values means. Let's assume that one of your colleagues' work values is recognition. Normally, you would ask just one or two of these questions for each value. Select the question or questions that are most appropriate. What has to happen for you to know that you are being recognized or have recognition at work? How do you know when you're being recognized at work? What does recognition mean to you at work? How do you know when someone or something recognizes you at work? What is your evidence procedure for recognition at work? What causes you to feel recognized at work? What would have to happen for you to feel not recognized at work, or that your value of recognition was not being met? Once you have steps 1 through 5, if it were appropriate, you would then find the criteria equivalence for the top few values, normally the top 5, or all the A's, and for even more values if you think it would be useful. Using the example of your colleague, it will almost certainly be important to them to know both the values and the criteria equivalence so that they can make a better choice of career. Typically, finding the criteria equivalence takes 2 to 5 minutes per value, depending on how much detail is required. Therefore, within around 45 minutes, you will know a huge amount about them and/or have helped them gain that knowledge about him or herself. Exercise 14.3, approximately 20 to 45 minutes. Continue exercises 14.1 and 14.2, eliciting the criteria equivalence for the top few values. Do as many as you, 14.1, or the colleague, 14.2, would find useful. Tip 14.4. Please note that values can and do change over time. I suggest that you revisit your career values periodically, perhaps before your annual appraisal, or whenever there is a significant change in your work or personal circumstances. Also, if a few days after doing the values elicitation exercise, you realize that you have not listed an important value, simply add it to the list. Applications for individual use. There are numerous ways you can use values at work for yourself or for other individuals. Making choices. As with the example we used in this chapter, you can help yourself or another person choose a new job or career. Elicit the values and criteria equivalence, then make a list of the alternatives and note whether each individual value is met in each of the choices. Job interviews as a candidate. If you know your values, hierarchy, ranking, and criteria equivalence, you will be able to ask the interviewer or interviewers searching questions regarding the role to find out whether it is truly suitable for you. Whenever I cover values on my training courses, I ask the attendees, most of whom have staff reporting to them, what they would think about a candidate who asked searching and relevant questions about the role. The response is always that they would think highly of the candidate, which increases the candidate's chances of success. Improving your satisfaction at work. Using the principles detailed in Making Choices in this section, list your values in order of importance, and then score on a scale of 1 to 10 the degree to which each value is being met in your current role. Depending on the situation, it might be appropriate to make specific requests to your boss regarding how to improve your level of satisfaction. Selling to consumers. When you bought the shoes you're wearing, you had an idea of what you wanted in a pair of shoes: style, size, price, color, etc. That is, your values or criteria. A good salesperson would have asked you what you want in a pair of shoes and then showed you shoes that fit your criteria. See Story 14.1. This informal values elicitation process uses the same principles as the more formal process we covered earlier in this chapter. Goal setting. As discussed in Chapter 4 and Chapter 8, when setting goals, you need to make sure that you know your values and that your values are in alignment with your goals. In other words, will achieving your goal give you more of your essential values or the top 3 or 4 values? Story 14.1. Although asking customers what they are looking for may seem very obvious, when I cover the application of values to selling in a course, every person admits that they have had experiences of salespeople not doing even a basic values elicitation. A few years ago, Allison, a course attendee who had learned about values in a previous module, was looking for a brand new, top-of-the-range car. She described walking into one car dealership and being approached by a salesman who proceeded to tell her about the various cars that were available. Amused and slightly surprised, she listened for around 5 to 10 minutes, hoping he would actually ask her what she wanted in a car. He did not, and, needless to say, she went to a different showroom. Coaching individuals. You could coach individuals in the areas listed previously, if you are their manager or hired as a business coach. Applications within organizations. There are numerous applications of values for organizations. Managing and motivating staff. This is a really important use of values and an invaluable way for managers to create or enhance employee engagement. I suggest that every manager be trained to do the following 2-step process. Step 1. Do a values elicitation exercise with each employee at their annual appraisal, which will take up to 1 hour, including their criteria equivalents. Set the scene by saying something along the lines of, "As your boss, it's really important to me that you're happy and motivated in your work." Why? Because you'll produce better results, which will benefit you, me, the team, and our customers, or clients, or patients. I consider it my role to help you to be as happy in your work as possible, and to help you to have as much of what you want at work and as little of what you don't want. I promise you, I will do everything in my power to do this, subject to the various budgetary and organizational limits that exist. And remember, I'm not a mind reader, so if you don't tell me what's important to you, I can't be expected to know. So on the basis that I'm not a mind reader and that I promise to do my best for you, would you be willing to answer a few questions? I've never heard of an employee reply no. You would then proceed into steps 1 through 5 and find the criteria equivalents. Tip 14.5. A couple of weeks before the annual appraisal, ask your employees to think about what's important to them in their job or work or career. This gives them a chance to reflect before the appraisal. Step 2. Keep your word. If circumstances change during the year, explain that to the employees affected. Tip 14.6. Be curious regarding the degree to which your staff's values link to Hertzberg's true motivators, as discussed earlier in this chapter. Even in a challenging economic environment where there might be less scope to use money to motivate staff, there are still ways to get the best from people if you understand what truly motivates them. Story 14.2. I teach this process on every management-related course that I run. Without exception, all attendees confirm that if their boss did this process, including keeping their word, they would feel highly motivated and would want to work for that boss. Making choices regarding suppliers or expensive items. as with the Making Choices section earlier, do a full value solicitation and evaluate according to the list. Selling to businesses. The approach is similar to the one outlined under selling to consumers previously. If you are selling a larger scale item to a business, you will probably be having a longer conversation or series of conversations with the prospect. During that time, listen for when the prospect mentions values relating to the product. Because values are important, often you will be able to use sensory acuity to notice a shift in posture or voice tonality as the prospect mentions the word or phrase. You might also be able to do a values elicitation similar to the way we described earlier in this chapter. The scene setting may go something like this. Assume that you are selling consultancy services. I find that most of my clients want to be more value previously mentioned or that is bound to be important, such as profitable, efficient, successful. I assume that's something you're interested in. In order that I can help you to become more value, is it okay to ask you some questions? Assuming they say yes, elicit their values according to steps 1 through 5, and then elicit the criteria equivalence. You would probably adjust the question slightly, given that it's a formal business situation. For example, you would replace career with consultancy provider or consultancy services in step 1, and when ranking, step 4, you would probably ask for the most important 3 or 4 values, or the really essential ones. Once you know what's really important to them in a firm of consultancy providers and what they mean by each of the values, that is, the criteria equivalence, your role as a salesperson becomes relatively straightforward. Demonstrate how your service fits their needs. By selling in this way, you are really serving your client. Tip 14.7. Occasionally, people find selling uncomfortable. When they realize that this process helps them to truly serve customers or clients, a win-win approach, their attitude to selling becomes far more positive and enthusiastic. Relationship management. The approach would be similar to selling to businesses, that is, eliciting the client's values around what they want from your company or from the relationship. Negotiation. Though there are many aspects to successful negotiating, it is really useful if you can find out what is important and not important to your counterparty. Use your sensory acuity as mentioned in selling to businesses to recognize values. Recruitment. Do a values elicitation for the role. That is, decide which values you want in a candidate and interview against that list, using an approach similar to making choices. Also, elicit the values and criteria equivalence for the candidate's career or work or job to get a sense of whether they are suited to the role. Team building. Though this is not the only way to build an effective team, asking each team member to explain their values and equivalence to their colleagues normally leads to a greater understanding and empathy. If you are leading the team, please think carefully before doing this exercise. It normally works well with a team that is functioning well, but it might not be suitable if the team has baggage. Organizational culture change. This was covered in the neurological levels section, chapter 8. It is important that the senior management and directors walk their talk. If, for example, approachability is one of the stated business values, it is essential that this applies throughout the organization, starting from the top. Conflicts. Often conflicts are caused because there is a clash of values, or because one party disregards, deliberately or accidentally, the values of the other party. By understanding the respective values of both parties, and if appropriate, bringing them to each other's awareness, negotiators and mediators can work to resolve the conflict. Chapter 15. Metaprograms. A deeper understanding of how to influence people at work. To effectively communicate, we must realize that we are all different in the way we perceive the world and use this understanding as a guide to our communication with others. Tony Robbins, author and coach. The final set of filters we will be covering is metaprograms. These are deep filters that, along with values and beliefs, greatly influence and shape our personality and responses to situations at work. They influence how we think about situations, almost regardless of the specific events that are happening. They are like frames of mind. You might have found that you have said the same thing to two people at work and got very different responses, or said something to a colleague or customer and got a response that was completely unexpected. This is probably due to their respective metaprogram patterns. Why are metaprograms so useful? Having an awareness and understanding of metaprograms will give you a greater understanding of yourself and other people, and to help you communicate your ideas and influence more effectively in business. Every person you will ever meet at work will be running a series of metaprograms. Having an understanding of these will help you understand and influence their behavior in numerous work situations, including managing staff, recruitment and selection, selling, negotiating, presenting information, coaching, advertising, team building to ensure that you have an appropriate mix of people, general communication with colleagues. At an extreme, an understanding of metaprograms can prevent you or others from getting angry and having arguments. Metaprograms are easy and quick to use, and unlike most other methods of personality assessment, you can do this conversationally and quickly. Indeed, someone familiar with this information can elicit someone else's metaprograms in 10 to 15 minutes. Key concepts and background. Metaprograms are patterns of thinking and responding that can be linked to frames of mind. These frames of mind could be thought of as patterns or programs that lie above and beyond, that is, meta, the actual words or content of the situation, hence the term metaprograms. These metaprograms will probably change when the context changes. For example, your responses to a situation when you are managing someone might be different from those in a similar situation when you are meeting clients, and they will almost certainly be different from how you respond at home or with friends. Therefore, your metaprograms in any given context will determine your perspective, your way of thinking and feeling about situations, and hence, your behaviors and responses. Metaprograms link to a well-known personality profiling system called the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator, MBTI. You might have heard of this. I will not be expanding on it in this audiobook because much has already been written about it in many books and on the internet. Please Understand Me by Kiersey and Bates provides an excellent explanation of MBTI. In some schools of NLP, the four MBTI traits, introvert-extrovert, sensor-intuitor, thinker-feeler, judger-perceiver, are referred to as simple metaprograms, with the traditional NLP metaprograms being referred to as complex metaprograms. Many of the metaprograms are a spectrum where there are two extremes and two or three stages between the extremes. For each of the metaprograms, there is a question that you can ask to elicit the person's preference. Having asked the question, by listening carefully to the reply, you can make an excellent guess at someone's metaprogram profile, then test it subsequently. Sheila Rose Charvet, well known for her use of metaprograms, covered in her book, Words That Change Minds, often refers to the guess and test method. One way to test whether your guess is accurate is to use language and statements that are relevant to your guess and then watch the other person's response. All of this will be explained in the next section. The metaprograms and how to use them. Although there are variations in the number of metaprogram filters taught, depending on which school of NLP you attend and which book you read. For example, Figuring Out People by Michael Hall and Bob Bodenhamer describes 51 metaprograms. We will cover 15 filters that are widely taught and applicable at work. We will take each in turn and provide, where applicable, the name of the metaprogram filter, a brief overview, the extremes of the spectrum of the filter, if applicable, with a description of the respective personality traits and indications of mid-ground if relevant. For some metaprograms, there are categories rather than a spectrum. The question or questions you can ask to identify the metaprogram preference, how to interpret the response and form your estimate of where the person is along the spectrum, the types of language to use to influence the person. Please use an appropriate mix depending on where the person is along the spectrum. Any relevant tips or pointers? Words That Change Minds quotes some research into the distribution of the metaprogram traits in the workplace. Where the distribution is not fairly evenly spread across the spectrum according to the research, I will mention this and how to apply it. Please note that although the terminology used for the metaprograms might vary from book to book, the principles will be similar. Also, the labels of the metaprograms or the extremes of the spectrum might have slightly different meanings from how the word would be used in everyday language. it is essential to realize that there are no inherently good or bad metaprogram profiles. All traits can be useful or not useful, depending on the situation. The key is to be able to know your own traits, recognize those of other people, and be able to respond accordingly. This links to two of the NLP presuppositions: respect other people's opinion and individuality, and be flexible, the latter also being one of the principles for success. How to get the most from this chapter. This is the longest chapter in this audiobook. I have endeavored to find a balance between thoroughness and brevity. Several books have been written on the subject of metaprograms alone. There are training courses lasting several days teaching this subject. Ultimately, it is up to you, the listener, to decide to what extent and how quickly you want to use the information in this chapter. My suggestion would be to use it initially to gain a better understanding of your own personality traits and those of other people important to your work performance. Once you have grasped that, you can start to deliberately elicit this information from others and use the relevant influencing language where appropriate. Tip 15.1. As you listen through these metaprogram traits, see whether you can identify where you are on each spectrum at work and where important clients or colleagues are. Please note that the terms metaprograms, filters, and patterns are often used interchangeably in this chapter because you might hear NLP practitioners use these terms interchangeably. Throughout this chapter, the term colleague will be used when referring to the person exhibiting the various metaprogram traits. 1. Values. Overview. This is often considered to be one of the metaprograms and is certainly important for the next filter we'll be covering. We covered values in detail in the last chapter. If you are specifically using values in the context referred to in the last chapter, then elicit values in the ways described previously. If you are eliciting values purely as a way to elicit the next metaprogram, you won't need to go into as much detail as described in Chapter 14. Questions to ask. What's important to you about context? Anything else? Interpreting the response. This has been covered in Chapter 14. Simply recognize that the values are important to the colleague. Examples of influencing language. Use the words that the colleague has used. Because values are important motivators, they will be motivated at the prospect of having their values met. 2. Direction filter. Overview. How do you keep motivated? Are you focused on an objective or goal, or on a situation or a thing to be avoided? The spectrum. Toward and away from. Toward colleagues want to have, achieve, or get something they want. They tend to be good at prioritizing and setting and achieving goals. They might not spot problems because they are so focused on their goal or target. Away from colleagues, at the other end of the spectrum, do something to avoid certain events, situations, or things. They tend to be good at, and motivated by, spotting and preventing problems. They might not be good at prioritizing or achieving because they will be distracted if something is wrong or not to their liking. Their results at work may be inconsistent or achieved with inconsistent levels of effort because once they have moved away from being uncomfortable, they lose motivation. Colleagues can also be mainly toward, equally toward and away from, or mainly away from, representing where the colleague is along the spectrum. Question or questions to ask. Why is value important to you in the context of context? And why is that, or repeat the key points from the previous answer, important to you? And why is that, or repeat the key points from the previous answer, important to you? In other words, you ask the same question three times to drill down into the reply. If you were being really thorough, you would do this for all values. In practice, and to save time, for the first question, ask, why are all these values important to you, so that you only go through the three questions once. Interpreting the response. Colleagues with a toward pattern will use words such as get, have, obtain, reach, earn, or win, or similar ideas. Colleagues with an away from pattern will mention what they don't want to happen, situations to avoid or get rid of, or use negations. They might mention words indicating necessity like have to, must, should, and ought to. You can estimate where the colleague is along the spectrum by the proportion of toward and away from responses given. Examples of influencing language. Toward? This is what you will gain, achieve, win, earn. Targets, target date, objectives, goals. Away from? Mention situations to be avoided or problems to be solved. Deadline, get rid of, exclude, reduce problems and liabilities. Use an appropriate mixture depending on where the colleague is along the spectrum. This applies to all the meta programs to follow. Tips. When speaking to a mixed audience or writing a report where you don't know the reader, use a combination of toward and away from language to ensure that you reach all of the audience and avoid turning off some of the audience. Did you notice both patterns in the previous sentence? Reach and avoid turning off? Some products are more likely to be at one end of the spectrum. For example, health insurance is generally an away from product, whereas luxury jewelry is probably a toward product. Story 15.1. Not long after I'd learned about metaprograms, I was part of a team doing a project using NLP modeling skills, see Chapter 16, to identify the traits of successful salespeople at a large multinational company. Each team member was given a number of people, some of whom were performing excellently and some performing not so well, and we weren't told who was in which category. I interviewed one man who told me he was always near the top of the sales league. I assumed that he was a toward person, so that when he asked why he was being interviewed, I used very toward language, such as, "The company wants to recruit great salespeople to expand on its success." The salesman said, "I don't understand this, and I feel so angry that I could hit you." I was slightly taken aback, and then I remembered that he had said that he works 20 to 30 hours a week in the first part of the month, and then, as deadlines and targets loom, he works 80 to 90 hours per week. That is, an away-from pattern. Recognizing the away-from pattern, I then said, "Think how bad it would be for you and other people if the company employed salespeople who weren't up to the job. You wouldn't want that, would you?" He replied, "Oh, now I understand. Sorry for being a bit irritable earlier." 3. Reason filter. Overview. How do you approach your daily work? Do you strive for new and other ways to do it? Or do you prefer to follow established procedures? The spectrum. Options and procedures. Options, colleagues, prefer to strive for new or other ways to do their work. They resist following established procedures, preferring to bend or even break the rules. They might be able to create procedures for other people to follow, but will resist following these procedures. They believe there's always a better way to do something. They prefer more creative or varied work. Procedures, colleagues, like following the tried and tested approach and believe that there is a right way to do things. They will tend to be happy doing repetitive tasks and generally do not like being interrupted. Colleagues can also be mainly options, equally options and procedures, or mainly procedures. Question to ask. Why did you choose your current job, role, career, self-employment? Interpreting the response. Options, colleagues, will mention values or criteria, such as, "I enjoy it," or "challenge," or generally indicate that there were possibilities, opportunities, and choice. Procedures, colleagues, will tell you how it happened and give you the story, even though the question asks why, or they will indicate that there was no choice. A mixture will indicate where the colleague is along the spectrum. Examples of influencing language. Options: break, bend the rules just for you. Opportunity, choice, expanding, options, the sky's the limit. Alternatives, possibilities. Procedures: the right proven way, tried and trusted, obligations. Also, speaking in procedural terms, for example, first, second, then, lastly. Tips. When selling to an options buyer, be prepared to give them options and even to make special deals for them. When selling to a procedures buyer, tell them the best or write one for them. Consider consumer preferences. Call centers, where you need to press buttons several times before speaking to a customer service agent, or organizations where the buying process is overly rigid, or where no mixing and matching are allowed, might deter customers at the options end of the spectrum. Equally, unstructured selling methods or presenting too many options might deter customers at the procedures end of the spectrum. The right way to influence a general audience or an audience you do not know is to use a combination of options and procedures patterns. There are many opportunities for using these patterns, and you can probably think of alternative ways yourself. Notice how this tip is options, and the previous tip is procedures. 4. Frame of reference filter. Overview. How do you find motivation? From external sources, advice and other people, or from your own internal standards and beliefs? The spectrum. Internal, sometimes known as internally referenced, or external, sometimes known as externally referenced. Internal colleagues set their own standards, provide their own motivation, decide for themselves on the quality of their work, and will take advice only from people who they have declared are worth listening to. External colleagues need other people's opinions and direction in order to be motivated and to know how they're doing. Colleagues can also be mainly internal, sometimes known as internal with an external check. That is, they will check with other people just to confirm their own conclusions or ideas. Equally internal and external, or mainly external, sometimes known as external with an internal check. That is, they will check their own thoughts, feelings, before accepting other people's opinions and conclusions. Question to ask. How do you know you've done a good job at work? Interpreting the response. Internal colleagues will just know or indicate, verbally and nonverbally, that they have decided. External colleagues will talk about other people, such as their boss or customers, telling them, or about the results showing them. A mixture will indicate where the colleague is along the spectrum. Examples of influencing language. Internal. Only you can decide. You know it's your choice. What do you think? You may want to consider. A suggestion for you to think about? It's up to you. External. Others will say. The feedback will be. The recognition you'll get. Others will notice. The information source reported that. Tips. When managing colleagues, generally, the more external they are, the more feedback they will require. When planning a project or a piece of work, where possible, involve internal colleagues at the early stages so that they can shape or have an input into the plans. When presenting to an audience, recognize that there will almost certainly be some internal colleagues who will want to decide for themselves whether you are worth listening to. Therefore, for a new audience, mention your credentials when you introduce yourself and use phrases such as, decide for yourself, or only you will know which elements will be useful to you. 5. Action filter. Overview. Do you take the initiative or wait for others to initiate before you take action? The spectrum. Proactive and reactive. Proactive colleagues tend to act with little or no hesitation or reflection, jump to conclusions without analyzing, and might appear to bulldoze their way through people. Reactive colleagues tend to pause to understand the situation, analyze and reflect, and wait for others to initiate action. At an extreme, they are inactive and can suffer from analysis paralysis. Colleagues can also be mainly proactive, equally proactive and reactive, or mainly reactive. Question to ask. When you come to a situation, do you usually act quickly after sizing it up, or do you make a complete study of all the consequences and then act? Often it is not necessary to ask the question, just listen to the responses to other questions. Interpreting the response. Proactive colleagues will answer, act quickly. Generally, they speak in short sentences, speak as if they are in control of their world, and are direct. Their body language can show signs of impatience and inability to sit still for long periods. Reactive colleagues will reply, do a study first. Often they speak as if the world controls them, with long and convoluted sentences and passive rather than active language. They often also use conditional language such as could, would, and might. They are generally able to keep still for long periods. Examples of influencing language. Proactive. Do it. Jump in. Now. Get it done. Don't wait. Go for it. Reactive. Analyze. Think. Reflect. Understand. Assess. Consider. Wait. Could. Might. Tips. Though all metaprograms can be useful in the right context, and therefore there is no inherently problematic metaprogram profile, if you are managing someone who is very proactive, make sure that you keep sufficiently abreast of what they are doing to ensure that they do things that are appropriate and not go full steam ahead, doing something inappropriate, especially if they also have a strong internal pattern. Once you've done enough thinking about how to use metaprograms, just use them. Reactive, then proactive. 6. Relationship filter. Overview. How do you react to change, and how much change do you need? Does your motivation to change come from perceived sameness or difference? The spectrum. Sameness and difference. Sameness, colleagues, like things to stay the same and do not like change. In a work context, they might accept a major change every 10 years and generally will seek a change once every 15 to 25 years. They also notice the similarities to previous or other situations. Difference, colleagues, seek radical and frequent change. They get restless every 1 or 2 years unless there is change. They will notice the differences from previous or other situations. Some difference colleagues can also be mismatchers. In other words, colleagues who will disagree with what is said or do the opposite of what you ask them to do. Colleagues can also be sameness with exception, seek major change every 7 to 15 years, equally sameness and difference, every 5 to 7 years, and difference with exception, every 3 to 5 years. Question to ask. What's the relationship between your job or work during this year and during last year? If they happen to have had a big change within the last year, you could ask instead, what's the relationship between this job or role and your last job or role? Interpreting the response. Sameness, colleagues, will notice how things are the same as before. Sameness with exception, colleagues, will notice how things are similar to before or slightly changed. Difference with exception, colleagues, will notice how things have changed. Difference, colleagues, might not even understand the term relationship in the question. They will describe how it is completely different, transformed, or revolutionized. Examples of influencing language. Sameness. Just as before. Just like you've always done. Identical. Unchanged. Sameness with exception. More. Better. Less. Same, except. Evolving. Progress. Sameness and difference equally. A combination of the previous two categories will work. Difference with exception? New. Unusual. Different. Lots of changes. Difference? Revolutionary. Totally new. Brand new. Switch. Shift. Unique. Unrecognizable. Totally different. Completely changed. Or even, you probably won't believe this, for the mismatches. Tips. Many public sector and private sector organizations have frequent reorganizations to reflect changing economic or political circumstances. For employees toward the sameness end of the spectrum, point out all the elements that will still be the same. Ensure that staff at the difference end of the spectrum have sufficient change, even if it means something relatively small like moving them to a new team or office. According to the research in Words That Change Minds, around 2/3 of all people fall into the sameness with exception category. Therefore, when advertising, it is often more effective to say improved when updating an existing product rather than brand new. Similarly, when there are culture change initiatives, where possible, highlight the similarities with the previous situation. Just as in previous filters, the final tip gives two ends of the spectrum. You might have noticed that the relationship filter has a completely different distribution compared to the previous filters. Sameness, and then difference statements. 7. Chunk size filter. Overview. What chunk size of information do you handle well? This links to the hierarchy of ideas covered in Chapter 7. The spectrum. Global, also known as general, and specific, also known as detail. Global colleagues want the big picture and overview. They might present ideas in a random order. They dislike working with details for a long time. Specific colleagues like working with small amounts of information. Otherwise, they may feel overwhelmed and might get so engrossed in the details that they can't see the wood for the trees. They may find it difficult to prioritize because they see so much detail. Colleagues can also be global to specific, also called mainly global, or specific to global, also called mainly specific. Question to ask. If we were going to do a project together, would you want to know the big picture or the details first? Would you really need to know the other, that is, details or big picture, depending on the previous answer? Often it is not necessary to ask the question. Just listen to how much detail is provided in response to the other questions. Interpreting the response. Global colleagues will reply big picture to the first question and no in response to the second. They usually present ideas in a random order, present summaries or overview, talk about concepts, talk in the abstract, and often use short sentences with few details. Specific colleagues will reply details and no. When speaking, they usually give sequences, use lots of adverbs and adjectives, and if they lose the sequence, they will start over again. Global to specific colleagues will answer big picture and yes. Specific to global colleagues will answer details and yes. They will both use a combination of the two main traits. Story 15.2. During the same project mentioned in Story 15.1, I interviewed someone who said he preferred the big picture and didn't want the details. However, he took nearly 5 minutes to answer the first question about an overview of his role, including 2 minutes of reflection, and the whole modeling interview process took 7 hours, compared to an average of 4 hours. Needless to say, I noted him as detailed and reactive. See action filter. Examples of influencing language. Global. The big picture. Essentially. The key aspects. In general. Conceptually. Idea. Concept. Typically. Overall. Overview. Specific. Exactly. Precisely. Specifically. Plan. Schedule. Define and structure. Give lots of detail in sequence. Tips. Because the distribution according to the research is global at 60%, equal global and specific at 25%, and specific at 15%, give the big picture first and then give any necessary details later when speaking to a general audience or someone you don't know, with pointers about how to obtain more information. Generally, the more senior the role, the more likely it is that the employee will be global. Therefore, when in meetings or doing presentations, present overviews with key points to senior managers to gain their attention, and then use sensory acuity to tell when you're giving them enough or too much detail subsequently. 8. Attention direction filter. Overview. Do you display and respond to nonverbal behaviors? Are you aware of, and is your attention on other people? The spectrum. Self and other. Self colleagues live more in their internal world. They do not show many emotions. They pay attention only to the content of a communication rather than to any nonverbal elements. They know how a communication is going based on their own feelings. Other colleagues are more animated and respond to other people with nonverbal language as well as verbal. They know how a communication is going by the nonverbal responses. Although there are not specific middle points of this spectrum, there are different degrees of other. Some NLP schools will refer to self and other. According to the research, only a small percentage of people at work are self. Question to ask. There is no question to elicit this metaprogram. Simply observe responses to other questions. Perhaps sneeze or drop your pen. Self colleagues will not notice. Other colleagues will respond accordingly. Interpreting the response? See previous point. Examples of influencing language. There is no specific influencing language for self colleagues. Keep the communication focused on the content, and for other colleagues, make sure that you build and maintain rapport and be willing to communicate non-verbally. Tips. This is an important metaprogram for recruitment. Though technical roles might not need other patterns, most roles will require a degree of it. Fortunately, only a small percentage of people at work are self. Story 15.3. An NLP colleague told me of an airline company that was losing market share and in financial difficulties, largely because its cabin crew were not serving customer needs. The company used this one metaprogram to help change the situation. All potential recruits were asked to prepare a presentation to deliver to the other candidates, while some of the interviewers were observing at the side of the room. However, unbeknown to the attendees, the interviewers were not observing the speakers. They were observing the audience, looking out for those who had an extreme, almost compulsive, other pattern, whose attention was directed solely on the speaker. Subject to other interview requirements, these were the people who were hired. 9. Stress response filter. Overview. How do you react to normal levels of stress at work? The spectrum. Thinking, sometimes known as dissociated. Feeling, sometimes known as associated, and choice. Thinking colleagues, 15%, do not have emotional responses to normal levels of stress at work. They will not panic and might have difficulty empathizing with colleagues or clients. Feeling colleagues, 15%, will have an emotional response and stay emotional. They are not naturally suited to pressurized jobs. Choice colleagues, 70%, initially have an emotional response, but then will be able to return to a more balanced state if they want to. As managers, they can empathize and also be detached as the situation requires. Question to ask. Tell me about a situation at work that caused you trouble, or was difficult, or a challenge or problem. Interpreting the response. Feeling, colleagues, will show signs of emotion and stay in that state. Using sensory acuity, chapter 5, you would notice changes in breathing, skin tones and color, and body posture and voice tonality, and their eyes will look down and probably to their left to access kinesthetic. See chapter 6, eye patterns. Thinking colleagues will not show signs of emotion. Choice colleagues will initially show signs of emotion and then vary between showing emotions and not showing emotions. Their eyes may look upward some of the time. Examples of influencing language. Thinking. Clear thinking, logical, rational, hard facts, statistics, figures, evidence. Feeling. Get them feeling a positive emotion, such as excitement, anticipation about something, and then use words like intense, exciting, amazing, wonderful, and fantastic. Choice. Use language that covers being excited and being rational. For example, makes good sense and feels right. Tips. As alluded to earlier, feeling clients might not be suited to management because they get stressed, and thinking managers might not be able to empathize with staff. Choice is a more suitable manager profile. Consider the amount of stress involved in a role when selecting a candidate. 10. Affiliation filter. Overview. What kind of environment do you work best in? Alone? Having your own responsibilities with others around you? Or sharing responsibility? The spectrum. Independent, management, or team. Independent colleagues prefer to work alone. Management colleagues, the majority, prefer to work with other people and have their own area of responsibility. Team colleagues prefer to work with other people and to have shared responsibility for work. Although colleagues will tend to have one preference, it is possible that they might be a mixture of two types, or even three types. Question to ask. Tell me about a situation at work that made you happy, or a similar value they have mentioned previously. What did you like about it? Interpreting the response. Independent colleagues will refer only to themselves, making no mention of other people. Management colleagues will mention situations when they did the task and that other people were present or involved. It is possible that they might not actually mention anyone else, although it is implied by the nature of the situation that other people were involved, for example, doing a presentation or chairing a meeting. Team colleagues will mention other people and that responsibility was shared or that we did it as a team together. Examples of influencing language. Independent. Do it alone, by yourself, total responsibility and control, without interruption. Management. You'll be in charge, direct, lead with others around. You'll be responsible for this and they'll be responsible for that. Team. We all. Us. Let's. Together. Team. Joint. Group effort. Share responsibility. We're all in this together. Tip. Bear in mind staff's preferences when deciding an office layout and work allocation. 11. Work preference filter. Overview. Do you focus more on thoughts and feelings or on ideas, systems, and tools when organizing your work? The spectrum. Person, thing, and system. Person colleagues prefer to work with people. Thing colleagues prefer to work with ideas, tools, machines, and tasks. System colleagues prefer to work with systems, or when working with people and things, they are interested in how the system works. Most people are thing, system, or a combination of person and thing and system. Question to ask. Tell me about a situation at work that made you happy, or a similar value they have mentioned previously. What did you like about it? Because this is the same question as in the previous metaprogram, you can ask it for a different situation until you become practiced at listening for both metaprograms at the same time. Interpreting the response. Person colleagues will mention names, people, and generally, people will be the most important aspect. Thing colleagues will mention items such as tasks, goals, outcomes. They might imply that people are objects in the process. System colleagues will mention interrelationships between different parts of the process and people. Examples of influencing language. Person. Use the people's names and how they feel. Mention the people involved in the situation. Thing. Mention machines, tools, tasks, processes, etc. System. Mention how the wider system works or how the people and things fit together. Tips. Just because someone is person, it does not mean that they are necessarily nice. It is conceivable that they could be excellent at building rapport and empathizing with people, yet use this skill to manipulate them. Thing or system colleagues will be suited to doing reorganizations where drastic action is needed because they will not concern themselves with any temporary upset that people feel about changes. 12. Management direction filter. Overview. Do you have rules of behavior for yourself and others at work? This metaprogram is essential in deciding whether someone will make a good manager. The spectrum. Self and others have management rules for themselves and for other people and are willing to tell other people what to do. This is an essential pattern for effective leaders, managers, and advisors, and the research shows that 75% of people have this pattern at work. Self only can manage their own work but are uninterested in managing others. These people are generally not management material. Only 3% of people have this pattern. Others only. Though they are very good at directing and or managing others, they are not able to manage or direct themselves. This is a typical pattern for bureaucrats or civil servants. 7% of people have this pattern. Self but not others. They are able to manage themselves. Though they are able to manage or direct others, they do not want to. Who am I to tell you or someone else what to do? This pattern may be suitable for business and life coaches and counselors, because they are supposed to draw information from their clients rather than give specific advice. 15% of people have this pattern. Questions to ask. There are three questions. 1. Do you know what you need to do to increase your chances of success at work? 2. Do you know what someone else needs to do to increase their chances of success at work? 3. Would you find it easy to tell them? Interpreting the responses. Self and others? 1. Yes. 2. Yes. 3. Yes. Self only? 1. Yes. 2. No, or not interested. The third question is then not relevant. Others only? 1. No, or has difficulty in answering. 2. Yes. 3. Yes or no. Self, but not others. 1. Yes. 2. Yes. 3. No, or reluctant. Examples of influencing language. Self and others. If you were me, or him or her, would you probably? Self only. It doesn't matter so much about others as long as you know, are clear. Others only. Though you may not know for yourself what's best, you can inform others of what's best for them. Self, but not others. You know what's right for you. Let others decide for themselves. Tip. The types of roles suited to each pattern were mentioned before when explaining this filter. That is, self and others, leaders, managers, and advisors. Others only, bureaucrats and civil servants. Self, but not others, business or life coaches and counselors. 13. Convincer representation filter. Overview. What type of information do you need to begin to get convinced of something? This is the first of two filters relating to how colleagues become convinced. The spectrum. As the name suggests, it's either see, hear, experience or do it, or read about it. Question to ask. How do you know that someone else, for example a colleague, is good at what they do? Do you have to see them do it, hear about it, do it with them or experience it, or read about it? Interpreting the response. Whichever representational system they give as the answer is the preference. Examples of influencing language. We will cover this in the following meta program because these two filters are closely linked. 14. Convincer demonstration filter. Overview. At what point in the process do you become convinced? The spectrum. Automatic. Automatically convinced assumes that colleagues are good and gives them the benefit of the doubt. Number of times, period of time, and consistent. Never truly convinced. Question to ask. How often do you need to see, hear, experience, read about it, depending on the reply to the previous question, before you're convinced that someone is good at what they do? Interpreting the response. This has been covered in The Spectrum before. According to the research, slightly more than half of colleagues have a visual see convincer. Around one-third have an auditory or hear convincer. Half have a number of times convincer, 3 times is the most common, and a quarter have a period of time convincer. Examples of influencing language. Automatic. You can assume. The benefit of the doubt. Decide soon. Number of times. Match their responses. For example, if someone needs to hear about it, convincer representation filter, 3 times, then either speak to them 3 times or offer them the contact details of 3 people, at least, to speak to. It might also be appropriate to use the relevant predicates. Chapter 6. Period of time. It has been, period of time stated, since. It feels like it has been, period of time, since, even if it hasn't been quite as long as that. Consistent. Since you'll never be truly convinced. The only way to find out is to... Tips. Use the two convincer models when selling. Many people obtain three quotes when buying something. A three times convincer pattern is common, or try three items, or possibly take a period of time before deciding to buy something. If you are selling someone with an automatic or one-time convincer, do your best to clinch the deal immediately because they might easily be convinced by the next salesperson. This can apply to ideas within an organization, as well as buying products and services. 15. Primary interest filter. Overview. This relates to your main interest in a given event or situation. The spectrum: people, place, thing, activity, time, or information. This indicates in what a colleague will be most interested in work situations and can be important for job assignment and recruitment. Question to ask. Tell me about your favorite restaurant. What do you like about it? Interpreting the response. People, influenced by things pertaining to who, mentions who they are with or the staff. Place, influenced by language pertaining to where, describes the geography or location. Thing, influenced by language pertaining to how or whether, mentions the type of food or any particular theme relevant to the restaurant. Activity, influenced by language pertaining to what, mentions what was happening, for example, busy waiters, musicians. Time, influenced by language pertaining to when, mentions when they go there. Information, influenced by language pertaining to why, might ask you why you want to know or give you lots of information about the restaurant. Influencing language, already mentioned. Using a project as an example for information, give the colleague reasons why the project will go ahead and relevant information, such as the history, cost, and systems to be used in the project. For people, tell the colleague who will be involved in the project. Summary. Tip 15.2. Assuming that you have not been formally trained in how to use metaprograms, I suggest that you initially focus your efforts in understanding your own metaprogram profile. If you want to use this audiobook to understand others, I suggest that you break the test down into bite-sized chunks. Either pick one person and understand, or if they are willing, elicit their metaprograms. Pick one specific metaprogram and notice how the behaviors of people at work reflect that filter. Please also be aware that everything is relative. For example, if you happen to be very options-oriented, then someone who is equally options and procedures might appear to be very procedures to you. Tip 5.3. Often you will be able to estimate someone's specific metaprogram pattern just by listening to their language. For example, if someone frequently talks about their problems and what they don't want, you could reasonably guess that they are near the away from end of the direction filter spectrum. Following on from tip 15.2, exercise 15.1 will help you deepen your understanding of metaprograms. Exercise 15.1. Elicit your own metaprogram profile by answering the 15 questions in the table available in the companion PDF to this audio program. Applications for individual use. Many of the tips provided earlier can be used when dealing with individuals. More specifically, metaprograms can be used in the following contexts. Selling. Understanding or recognizing even a few metaprograms will give you an insight into how best to approach a customer. Coaching and management. Choosing the best approach to motivate and communicate with clients and staff. Also, where appropriate, you could inform your colleagues or coaching consultancy clients about some or all of the metaprograms so that they can better understand their work contacts. Story 15.4 provides a useful example. Interviews. Being able to understand and influence candidates or interviewers. Conflicts and misunderstandings. It is common for disagreements to be caused by people having differences in specific metaprogram profiles. You can use the information in this chapter to at least understand the other person, and, ideally, to agree on a way to work effectively, given any inherent differences. Story 15.4. I was coaching a very bright managing director who had challenges regarding some members of her staff. I elicited her metaprograms using a sheet similar to that shown in Exercise 15.1, and then explained to her each of the filters and where she was on each spectrum or category. She was enthralled and said, "I wish I'd known this 20 years ago. I would have been a far better manager." Applications within organizations. There are numerous applications in groups and organizations, as well as those already mentioned in the tips for each pattern. Advertising and marketing. Use improved, sameness with exception, rather than brand new, difference, when launching upgrades or updates to existing products, because most people are sameness with exception. Presentations. As alluded to in several of the filters, use a combination of influencing language for certain patterns to help ensure that you reach the whole audience. Recruitment. Profile the job or role using metaprograms to decide on your ideal profile and acceptable alternatives for the role, and then use appropriate influencing language in the job adverts. Also, elicit the key metaprograms during interviews. Team building. As with values in Chapter 14, help members of the team to understand the metaprogram patterns generally, and in particular, where their colleagues fit along the spectra.